Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 8, Text 11. Just have to make sure. 11 through 12. These verses are in prose, so there's no real meter to it. We can try, so I'll just read the Sanskrit, and then we can get into it. This is a very important canto, the 5th canto. It's one of the heaviest cantos also. If you can make it past the 5th canto and not give up on spiritual life, then you're in a good position, because this canto totally destroys most of what we feel about the material world and just, you know, material energy in general. So, iti kritan nu sanga asana sayanatana shana sanna dishu saha migra jahuna sneha nu bada hridaya asit. And no, so the translation is, due to attachment for the deer, Maharaj bought it, lay down with it, walked about with it, bathed with it, and even ate with it. Thus his heart became bound to the deer in affection. Kusha kushum kushum ma samit pala sa pala mulo dakana dakani aharishya mano vika sala vika divyo dayam asma sa mano. Yada saha hani na kuna kena vana sama visati. Poof. Hare Krishna. When Maharaj Bharat wanted to enter the forest to collect kusha grass, flowers, wood, leaves, fruits, roots, and waters, he would fear that dogs, jackals, tigers, and other ferocious animals might kill the deer. He would therefore always take the deer with him and enter the forest. And entering the forest, purport by the divine grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. How Maharaj Bharat increased his affection for the deer is described herein. Even such an exalted personality as Bharat Maharaj, who had attained loving affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fell down from his position due to his affection for some animal. Consequently, as will be seen, he had to accept the body of a deer in his next life. Since this was the case with Bharat Maharaj, what we can say of those who are not advanced in spiritual life and who become attached to cats and dogs? Due to their affection for cats and dogs, they have to take the same bodily forms in the next life, unless they clearly increase their affection and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless we increase our faith in the Supreme Lord, we shall be attracted to many other things. This is the cause of our material bondage. Om Gana Tiri Om Nishaganandana Salakya Takshu Unminatam Yanatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapita Yena Bhutali Swayam Rupa Kadami Anatati Swapatantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Mukham Karochi Vachanam Kuna Gayate Gurim Yakripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatadanam. So, this canto is, like I said, is very heavy. And then the story of the pastime of Maharaj Bharat is actually quite nice. It's showing us the danger of unnecessary attachments, right? Because there's necessary attachments and there's unnecessary attachments. A necessary attachment is being attached to the Vaishnavas, right? That's a good attachment, right? Even though sometimes, you know, we want to strangle them or, like, you know, they really fry us out. But still, that's strong attachment, because from that attachment, we're becoming more and more attached to the Supreme Lord, because we can't, you know, how many of us understand Krishna on the altar? It's like one time I asked a Prabhupada disciple, I said, you know, what do you think of Krishna, you know? Like, what's your, after all these years, what's your realization about the deity? And he said to me, I have no idea who Krishna is, right? But I know who Prabhupada is, right? So there, you see that this attachment to the Vaishnav can cause one to actually advance so much, as we hear from the story of Narada Muni how he had such attachment for the sadhus that he served them and took the maha prasad, and then from that he took his next birth as Narada Muni. Right? We see so much that these attachments can be favorable to our Krishna consciousness, like attachment to doing our service. You know, not just doing service just for the means of putting food in our belly and a roof over our head, but actually doing service. And at one point, the service actually becomes some attachment grows, some love grows, where if you don't do that service for like a couple weeks or a couple days even, you start to bite at everyone, just waiting to go out, right? It's a friend of mine, Vijay. He's the book distribution minister of ISKCON, you know? He's been distributing books for 30-something years, and he had bad health problems, and he couldn't go out anymore for a couple months, and you should see who's the grumpiest man in the world, right? He was so attached to doing the service that because he couldn't do it for a couple months due to health, he became just like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life now. The doctor just told him he had to relax for 2 months, but instead he was acting like it was the end of the world, right? And we see that what separates us from the Mahabhagavats, for us from the Paramahansas, us from the truly advanced, you know? Because in our minds, we all think we are advanced. But the truly advanced is that they actually have a taste for seva. They have a taste for serving the Supreme Lord. While we just go through the motions, you know, with this in this process of sadhana bhakti. We just go through the motions, just doing it because we know we have to and it becomes purified. But at one level, at one stage, one actually gains a deep attachment for their service to Krishna. Right? So this pastime in Maharaj Bharat shows us about how such an exalted person became attached to such a cute little deer. And because of this cute little deer, he had to take birth again. And we see this all throughout life. We see this. And Prabhupada's making a very nice point here about how people are attached to cats and dogs. I mean, I saw an article on the news once about how people in Beverly Hills, California pay up to $2,000 for one day for their animal to go to the spa. Like an animal going to the spa, and the animal gets a mud bath, and it gets the fingernails painted, and such attachment to an animal that is basically its servant. Not, you know, they always say dog is a man's best friend, but the dog doesn't have to do anything. The owner cleans up after the dog's poop. You know, the dog, you know, gets fed by the owner. The dog even rides in the car. I saw like some YouTube video once of a guy who had a dog strapped into the front seat, and the dog was hanging his head out. And this is the society we live in, that we have our attachments all wrong, that we think that this is what's going to make us happy, that this is going to help us at the time of death. And there are actually stories of people, like this one really funny story Bibi Govinda Maharaj tells all the time about a zoologist that was so attached to an elephant that the elephant couldn't pass, you know? So the zoologist did everything he could to make the animal pass. He gave the animal liters and liters of olive oil and gave it, you know, these, I don't know what they're really called because I've never tried it myself, but these things that make you, you know, go to cleanse yourself, I guess would be. He gave him everything and it still would not work, right? And then all of a sudden, right, the animal, you know, passed winds. And it was so much, it knocked the guy out, you know? It, like, sent him flying down the... it's true, it's on Darwin's Awards, you know, this website, you know? And the guy fell, hit his head. But the animal didn't stop, it just kept on passing stool on him. And so before he knew it, he was covered in stool and died, right? Suffocated underneath a whole bunch of elephant stool, right? Such attachment led to such a death, you know? Like, what a way to go. I mean, I could think of 1,000 better ways to go than being buried alive in elephant excrements, you know? It's like, not the best way to go. But you see how this world is filled with attachments that all we're supposed to do. The TV tells us that we're supposed to be attached to this. We're supposed to be attached to this swimsuit model. We're supposed to be attached to this model, this TV, this car, this computer. Everything is all these attachments. And all they do is harm us where we cannot dive deeper into spiritual life, right? How it's saying, Prabhupada's saying here, how we have to be very careful with what our attachments bring, right? We have to be honest and weigh good attachments with bad attachments. Most people say married life is bad attachment. But actually, you know, Krishna consciousness, married life can be a very nice attachment because you learn how to serve a Vaishnava while in the brahmachari ashram. Well, most of the time, it's not my service, Prabhu. That's the most of the time you hear in the brahmachari ashram. You know, but the married ashram, marriage ashram, grihastha ashram, it gives you a chance to serve. I've never, you know, until I got married, I never realized you actually had to serve people. I thought that it was like I was supposed to, you know, everyone's supposed to give me stuff, but now I have to clean the house and I have to cook sometimes and I have to do these things. And why am I doing it? Not just for a woman, but for a Vaishnava, right? And so at one point, we actually have to go introspective and we actually have to think and we have to see where we really are in our Krishna consciousness. We have to weigh all our pros and cons, everything we're doing, everything we're feeling, every relationship we have, and at one point we have to be prepared to cut those relationships that are not favorable for our bhajan. And this is what the Goswamis tell us, is that we have to cut what's not favorable for our Krishna consciousness. You know, it doesn't mean we have to be mean and nasty, like, na 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 na, you're not as advanced. No, but it means that we have to develop these attachments. And sometimes that means that we have to give up on old attachments to do that. Like, I can speak for myself that last year on New Year's, see, I'm an American, and so Americans, we do, I don't know if they do it in Europe, they call a New Year's resolution. I don't know if they do it in America, but or in Europe, but in America it's common, and you write all your resolutions down. And one of my resolutions was to get rid of unwanted attachments, but I didn't know Krishna was going to do it for me. Because even though I fought it, he kept on taking them away and taking them away and taking them away. And I noticed something. Devotional service actually became fun. Right? I noticed that as these attachments to fame, these attachments to being the Iraq guy, these affections, you know, well, it's not the best thing to be known as, but could be worse. But these attachments to giving class, these attachments to trying to be in the front, to getting the maha first, all these attachments, I noticed that as they started to go, you know, saying I'm still attached to them, but not as bad as I used to be, I hope, that Krishna consciousness actually became fun again, right? It didn't become like such a serious process where, you know, everybody walks around like they've sucked on a lemon all day, you know, and it faces a... It became fun, and I started to enjoy myself. My service became more fun. My relationships with the devotees became nicer, more fun. All because of getting rid of an attachment. Right? I can say it honestly, you know, like, you know, that the best thing I ever did was put on white and come out of saffron. I can honestly say that was the best thing I ever did because I think about it now and I think about why did I stay in saffron even though I didn't want to be in it for so long? Because I was scared of what people would think of me. It was an attachment. And it harmed my spiritual life. And actually, I can see that. It really, now that I see it's a couple years later, I can see it actually harmed my spiritual life. So the point is to be honest, right? To be honest, because honesty is the first thing that needs to be addressed to be able to move past anartha nivritti. One has to be honest. We don't do it enough. Like, how many people come before Prabhupada and actually tell Prabhupada all your failures, all your problems, the things that you want to work on? For how many people actually do that? You know, how many people go before, how many of us, probably Madhu Gopal Prabhu and a few others, you know, but how many of us go before the deity and actually beg the deity to rid us of these unwanted attachments so I can really absorb myself in the seva yugal kishore of Radha Krishna, the divine couple, right? No, we just say, okay, it's not so bad, the attachments, come on. What to do, Prabhu? A little Facebook Maya here and there, a little MySpace, a little Maya here and there, newspapers. It's okay. It's not such a bad attachment. It's not so big, right? Not such a big thing. Just a little attachment is okay. But then we're taking a chance, right? We take a chance like Maharaj Bharat did. Pure devotee and decided, I'm going to be attached to this animal. So much so that he would just meditate on this animal all the time. Right? It says, Prabhupada saying here in the translation, that you know, if he went out in the forest to collect things, that he would always wonder, is my little deer gonna get killed? Is my little deer gonna get stolen? Is my little deer gonna get eaten by the ferocious animals? Oh, just big bad animals, right? And it caused him to fall down from his exalted position. So, how do we prevent this? Easily. By diving deeper into this Krishna consciousness philosophy, diving deeper into our service, diving deeper into our devotional relationships. I say devotional relationships because we can't just say devotee relationship, because also we all serve the deity in some way, because the deity is the king of the temple. Like, everything is for the deity. Most of the time we think that, you know, we maintain the deity, but actually the deity maintains us, you know? So by strengthening these things, going deeper into this, by giving your heart a little bit more, then that attachment leaves, you know? It leaves, slowly but surely, it leaves. Like the saying, Rome wasn't built in a day, you know? It's there for us. If we want to become detached immediately, it's right there. It says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Priyojana Janayatiya Suvayada Gyam Janat Yatayata. By immediately engaging in devotional service, one is given causeless knowledge and detachment from the material world. Well, the process is here. It's laid out for us. The Rupa and Sanatana Goswami were empowered by Krishna, by Lord Chaitanya rather, to show us how to develop this love for Krishna. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam, empowered by Krishna. It's all there for us. We just have to take advantage. The mercy is there. Nobody can argue and say the mercy isn't there. The mercy is there. Every day the mercy is there. Every day we come into this temple room, and every day we pay dandavats or obeisances, or sometimes pranams. Every day we come and we're bathing in the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas, because how many Vaishnavas have walked on this floor? Right? How many? And how many of them don't wear socks? Quite a bit. So much dust here, right? Every day we have Mangalarati. Every day we have a chance to go out and give people Krishna. Every day we have a chance to make a difference in this world and make a difference in ourselves. This is the power of the Sankirtan movement. That instantly it can cut all of your attachments. Instantly. Just come out on Sankirtan, you'll see all your attachments. Immediately they'll go, you know, when you're stopping all these people in Brussels and you're like, excuse me. And they're like, ah, rah, 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 in whatever that language is. I think it's French. I'm not too sure yet. And it'd be like, excuse me, sir, we just, rah, 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 no time, no time, no time, no time. And false ego gets immediately destroyed. After so many no's, the false ego is like, wow, I've had enough. You know, please give me one person that says yes. You know? Going out there and doing some austerity and basically begging people to take Krishna. Begging people to engage in this yajna, in this chanting of Hare Krishna. I mean, Vaisheshika Prabhu always says, the first reason why we go out on Sankirtan is for self-purification. It's the first thing we do. We go out just to purify ourselves, just to rid ourselves of our anartas, just to cleanse the heart. Right? Cheto darpa damajanam, cleansing the heart. And then the treasure appears. Nanta buddhi bharvanam. The treasure of Krishna. Right? This can only be done by getting rid of all these harmful things for us. And Prabhupada gives it to us, the nectar of instruction. What's the nectar of instruction? The first few verses talk about what's unfavorable, what's favorable. All these things are right there for us. We just have to take it. Not just take it, we have to develop greed for it, right? We have to be greedy for it and willing to do whatever it takes to get it. And you'll see the senior devotees in our movement, they have done this, right? They've seen, okay, this is an unnecessary attachment. I don't need it anymore. Jai Veta Maharaj always says, if he didn't need a computer for service, he would throw the thing out the window, you know, and never use it again, you know. Right? It's unwanted. He says, unwanted, unnecessary, you know. So many things we do to harm ourselves in our own Krishna consciousness. And then because the ego is so big, we just blame everyone else for it. Right? We sit there and we wonder why we're not advanced, and we say, well, the Bhagavatam speaker, he isn't speaking anything good. You know, it's not such a good class, that's why I'm falling asleep, or that's why I don't want to come, because, yeah, you know, it's not so good, it's his fault, he should prepare a lot better, you know. Or, you know, we have the bhajan, and then I'm not inspired because, you know, yeah, it's the mridanga player, or the kartal player, and it's just totally off today, you know. And it's, but actually, it all stems to us, our lack of taste, right? Because we have a choice: material energy or Krishna consciousness. We go to material energy most of the time. Krishna says, "My material energy is hard to overcome." He doesn't say impossible. He says hard to overcome. You know, Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. Nothing is impossible when Krishna is there. Nothing. Just have to ask him, and he'll give to you. And he'll reciprocate very fast, sometimes too fast. You know, sometimes too fast he reciprocates, and then you're stuck like, wait a minute, I didn't mean this fast, you know? Like what was it? One sannyasi friend of mine said, he said, yeah, I was a brahmachari, and they were trying, and, you know, I had the choice either get married or stay a brahmachari. He said, and I asked Krishna, I said, Krishna, I just want to not get married. And the next thing I knew, Hamsa Dutta was walking up to me saying, tomorrow you're taking sannyas. I was like, whoa, 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 I don't know if I'm ready for that just yet. So anyway, what to do, you know, have to go through with it. So we have to be, we're asking for it, we have to be prepared to receive it. Every day we're asking the spiritual master to engage us. Every day we're asking him to end the suffering we're in. Every day we're asking the spiritual master in the morning to just end this cycle of birth, disease, old age, and death. And then when the medicine is given, we don't want to take it. Right? The medicine's given to us, and then we're like, you know, I don't want it. It doesn't taste well. But it's good for you. But the taste is horrible. I should know, because I have to take medicine, and my wife puts my medicine inside of my prasadam so I don't notice it's there, because I won't take it otherwise. I'm like a little child, you know? And that's what we all are. We're little kids. We're not very advanced. We're not very spiritual yet. Well, at least I myself. We don't have so much guru, you know, bhakti yet. We don't have so much shraddha. So instead of just saying, okay, I don't have it, do something to get it. Like the Christians always say, God likes those who helps themselves. God helps those who help themselves. First, you have to help yourself. Charity starts at home. You know, is the saying in America. Charity starts at home. Meaning, first we have to do something for us. Jai. Shishara Gopinaki, Jai. Such beautiful deities, too. It's like, so, speaking on all this, it's the marathon, last few days, right? If you really want to start letting go of some attachments, you should go. You should come out, right? I'm not just saying this because I want a lot of people out on book distribution. I'm saying this because honestly, it really is beneficial for your spiritual development to see you're not the doer. To see attachments, because you come in contact with many attachments. Like one devotee told me one time, he said, I used to smoke, and I said, oh, did you ever get the urge to smoke again? He said, no, because you're on Sankirtan and people are blowing smoke into your face, and people are their breath smells like cigarettes, he said, it just became such a disgusting habit now, a disgusting thing to me that I could never ever do it again. Let's hope he never does it again. But we have to do something to earn the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We just can't expect it to fall out of the sky. We have to show that we're ready to reciprocate. Right? This is what the senior devotees of our movement have done. They have gone out and they have shown Lord Chaitanya that they're ready to do whatever it takes to become pure. Like one Prabhupada disciple went to Africa. He said to me, yeah, I was just in New York and Brahmananda came up to me and said, Prabhupada wants you to go to Africa. And I went immediately, right? Then he's like, 25 years later, I found out Prabhupada said somebody should go to Africa. And Brahmananda said, you should go. But still I went because I wanted to advance, right? We should tax our minds on how to advance, how to develop more love, and how to decrease our unnecessary attachments, which the biggest ones is fame, prestige. I mean, you see it. People, you know, during RT, you know, I say it all the time. People, you know, somebody will say, in your mind you'll be thinking, wait a minute, I'm supposed to get the flame first. I was here before that guy. He's not even wearing a dhoti. You know, why does he get the flame first? You know, this is all this. We want to be recognized. We want to be the big person. But very few of us are actually qualified to be that big person. You know, very few of us are qualified to become guru. Everyone should become guru, but how many are qualified? Rupa Goswami says, you know, pure devotional service is rarely attained. But that doesn't mean that we just stop. We're a movement, meaning either we go forward or we go backwards. There's no staying still. Right? So let's take every opportunity to go forward. Every opportunity to be honest. It's very important, honesty. It's very important. It goes a long way. Honesty isn't just saying that, okay, making a list, you know, all my attachments, you know. Honesty is like chanting your japa and missing a bead and then just grabbing any bead and starting over again. Honesty is singing for the deity's pleasure, not to make yourself look, you know, realizing, okay, maybe I'm kind of, you know, I'm Krishna, you know, trying to sound Bengali when you know you're not. You're from Holland or Belgium or New York. Like, understanding that this is who I am, this is the bad, this is the good, and Krishna can make it all good if I let him. Doesn't sound so bad, right? Sounds pretty easy. Just be a little bit honest. New Year's coming up, I do my New Year's resolutions, even though I fail every year, it seems, but still, I do it, because one year it might just work. And then what I do is I submit my New Year's resolution to the deities. And I say, this is what I'm going to work on this year. Try and make an effort. Because if there's no effort, the flip side is you might just come back again. And who wants to come back? Raise your hands if you want to come back here again. Who wants to go through a Belgian summer, which is only August 1st to the 2nd, right? Who wants to go through, you know, always raining? You know, I lived in Seattle for 3 years, and one day it rained 68 days straight. Just downpour, you know? Who wants to live through that? Who wants to live through all this? Who wants to take the chance? So now is the opportunity. My new motto is seize the day. It's from my college teacher, professor. You know, and that's what we have to do. Seize the day, and today is another one of those opportunities we can seize, and we can learn, and we can rid ourselves of all the things that might bring us back to this material world once again. Not false renunciation, of course. Mature renunciation. Not false, like all of a sudden, Bhakta Mark is like, from now on, I will never eat again. You know, no, not false, you know. Eating is unnecessary attachment. No, but some mature attachment, you know. Like, from now on, I'm not going to overeat. From now on, I'm not going to be dishonest. I'm going to start developing integrity. right? Because we're all a reflection. In the military, we always said, your soldiers are a direct reflection of your leadership, right? That's what we always said in the military. Your soldiers are a direct reflection of your leadership. We are, when people see us, we are a direct reflection of our spiritual master and of our founder, Acharya. So we have to act like one. So, any questions, comments, concerns, statements, anything at all? Yes, Surya Kun Prabhuji. Yeah, many people have heavy times. I mean, I remember my heaviest time. My heaviest time, I was in Iraq, and my spiritual master fell down. And he told me to stay there, to sign a 20-year contract for the military. And it was so hard for me. So hard for me. I was thinking, you know, wow, this really sucks. I'm stuck here on this guy's order. And what am I going to do now? No devotees, no anything. And for a while, I was really struggling with it. I was thinking, is this worth it anymore? You know? And then I thought, okay, this is the situation, but is the alternative worth it? And then I got really excited right away, because I was like, oh God, that's definitely not worth it, you know? The alternative to just suffer in the material world. A lot of times we're having hard times because we're being faced with a reality of ourselves. You know, usually everything is really good as long as the false, you know, the blinders are up that we think we're a pure devotee and everything, and that we're really advancing. We're like, wow, I'm advancing so much. And then something happens. We have to face that reality that, wait a minute, maybe I'm not as advanced as... So the enthusiasm comes just from going back to basics. Like Vaisheshika Prabhu always says, he says, Krishna conscious 101. You know, it's the basics. Just fundamentals. And I find when times are rough, even on Sankirtan, you know, it's not that every person takes a book for me. Some people are very nasty. And even that, you know, it becomes very, you know, hard to keep enthusiastic when you're out there. And then I just go back and then I'll just open up the Bhagavad Gita and just read and get some upliftment, you know. I'll go and I'll talk to, Madhu Gopal was great when he was on Sankirtan, because me and him would just talk about stuff. And it would keep ourselves enthused. We'd make sure we'd stay in each other's association so that, you know, we fed off of each other. And that's what ultimately, if we see that we're in a rough position, we have to surround ourselves with people that are fixed, and that we can feed off of their enthusiasm. I can say for myself, that's what I've always tried to do. By, you know, keeping friends with the people I have. And that when I've been... Because everyone goes through rough times. Even recently, you know, I'm going through a very rough time, you know. I was, you know, diagnosed with a brain injury that keeps me from reading properly and speaking properly sometimes, and even... writing letters, you know, and forgetting so many stuff, you know. I almost forgot my computer on the train the other day, you know, like, you know, so, but all I can do is, but when that news hit me that this, what was going on, immediately I called, like, Govinda Maharaj and talked with him about it. And immediately he made me feel like everything is okay. It's not such a bad struggle. So that's what we have to do. Surround ourselves with those people that can inject that enthusiasm into our Krishna consciousness. And they're everywhere. I mean, look at Radhadesh. We have this whole temple room. How many people here can help us? Everyone can help us. You know? So that's how. At least that's how I did it. I mean, other people might have a different answer, you know, but I tried, you know, when I was going through a rough time, I tried sitting in Radhakund or in Vrindavan and just chanting, you know, a couple lakhs a day, and it didn't help because I was all alone with my mind. You know, but then when I open my mind, that's why it's so important to develop close devotee relationships. One that you can reveal your mind to. It's very important. Because otherwise, Krishna consciousness becomes very lonely. And then you're just sitting there just like this, you know, miserable. Because you have nobody to talk to. So the best way to keep the enthusiasm is develop that relationship with somebody, whoever it might be. And those relationships you see will be lifetime relationships. Like Keshava Bharti Maharaj and Vaisheshika Prabhu, they finish each other's sentences. They've developed such a close relationship that they're always there for each other. You know? Even when Vaisheshika Prabhu was about, you know, they were trying, people wanted to take initiation from him, he was really a little bit like, well, I don't know, you know? And then Giriraj Maharaj showed up at his house at 2 a.m. after a program and talked to him for 4 hours about it and made him feel a lot better about taking up that responsibility. And now, you know, so nice, you know, such a mood he's created. So you see how this personal relationships is very, you know, very important in our lives. That's how. Answer the question?
Okay. Yes.
Any other questions, comments, concerns? Yes, Jai Vajra Mataji, Prabhu. Yeah, and then sometimes Krishna just brings it out for them, so they can't hide it anymore. No, but that's what Krishna does sometimes. God, I really don't want to go into my life. But he could, you know, sometimes we just aren't ready for that step, but Krishna knows it's necessary. Like, okay, I'll talk, for example, you know. Like, I used to do this blog, I guess that's what it's called. I didn't have Twitter, so I used to do this blog, right? But I became so absorbed in it, it became very harmful for me, right? And I wasn't ready to go, even though, you know, one or two people said to me, you know, you're becoming very attached to this, you should give it up and quit doing it. And I was like, no, you're doing wonderful. Come on, I'm getting 30,000 views a month, you know, come on. And then I wasn't ready to be honest. And then my spiritual master said, stop it. I said, okay, you know, like, can't argue with him. And then he said, no, it's becoming a bothersome for your Krishna consciousness, so stop. It's becoming an attachment. And what do you do? Then you have to make the choice. So sometimes Krishna arranges for the devotee to bring that to your face. So you have to come face to face with reality. Because as long as it's just in your head, you can just go on just, you know, pushing it down. But when it's brought out in front of your face, then that's when the real, you know, that's when you see if you're a devotee of substance or not, if you're ready to confront that. So sometimes we're not ready, and that's okay. There's many things we're not ready to be honest about. You know? I mean, we're not ready to be honest. I mean, as a society, we're not ready to be honest about it doesn't really matter about the fall of the jiva. Who cares? I want to go home. Who cares about how we got here? Let's worry about going home. But people just aren't ready, you know? They just don't want to accept some things. They're just not ready in their head to accept it, you know? Or like my case of being a brahmachari and being in saffron, even though I was ready to get married. Because I was, and then, you know, I was lucky. I had some senior devotees talk to me and encourage me. They could see what was going on, and they just encouraged to give me the strength to come out and be honest about it, you know? And I felt, and that's, and for my own life, I'd say I feel a whole lot better for it. That I had people that forced me to do this. So sometimes when we're not ready to be honest, Krishna forces you to become honest through devotees. You know, like one time Peter Burwash, he gave the Honolulu Temple, he gave the temple president $1,000, and then the temple president left the next day. He blooped, you know. And then Peter Burwash complained to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, don't get mad because of your karma, you know? You know, like, sometimes that's our karma, that these things have to come out. And we see so many people have had spiritual difficulties, you know, so many people have fell down from important positions, and they're still around doing very substantial service, you know? Because they became honest. Not fake it until you make it. You know, but yeah, but just being honest and straightforward and saying, you know, this is who I am, and then you learn who your real friends are, and then you can count on them. I mean, I can say, you know, personally, when I put on white, I learned who my friends were. I remember I was in Mayapur and I did it. And the first thing somebody said to me, because, you know, I was, one day everybody sees me in saffron, the next day everybody sees me in white. And because, you know, Partha, you know, I have to do it big. I just can't do it very privately. No, I have to make a whole spectacle about it. And the first thing was some person I thought I had a relationship with. And he saw me, and I was with Bhakti Sananta Maharaj, and we were on bicycles. And he stopped me and he said, "You put on white." And I said, "Yeah, you should give blessings as a friend." And he said, "Man, I used to find you so inspiring. Now, I don't think I can ever have a relationship with you." And he walked away. And then me and Maharaj were just laughing hysterically. Because we were like, see, it just gets rid of all these people that don't want to be a friend, that is just based on external feature. So if that makes any sense whatsoever. So a lot of these things, that's why important honesty is very important. So did I help your question at all? But probably not. I personally think if there's some confusion, that means you're having some internal conflict. You know, it's like, be chaste to the order that's given to you, or know what's good for you. You know, it's like, it's an internal conflict. So if we're not being honest, it's because we're scared what people might think. I mean, how many people here are ready to just talk to somebody and say, "Look, I'm having difficulties in spiritual life"? How many people? No, everybody walks around like you know, nothing's wrong, but we're not. It's because it's a lack, actually, from personalism. Because we think people will use it against us, you know? You know, it's just like, you know, my post-traumatic stress disorder, you know? When I was in the military, I mean, if you told that to anybody, that meant your career was over. Like you, but those who know me very close knew that there was something wrong, that I had some, you know, some after effects from being in war for 5 years. But I couldn't tell anybody in the military, because as soon as I told somebody, my career would be over, never promoted again. And people think that, and even devotees, we think the same thing, that if I reveal my mind to somebody, that that'll be used against me. You know, like what they say when you get arrested, for those people who have got arrested. Whatever you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. And most devotees, I thought that this, you know, if I revealed my mind to people, that they would use it against me. That's why it's important to develop that personal relationship, to describe that inner conflict. Because that's what, most of the time when we're not being fully honest, is because we're torn between two situations, between two feelings, you know, like the feeling of remaining a brahmachari and being one of the guys, to having to live with a woman and take care of her, or, you know, get yelled at all the time, depending on what your relationship is. And those are conflicting feelings, you know, like, but saffron looks so cool. I mean, come on. I even had a saffron toothbrush. I mean, come on, you know, that's a cool color. Or, you know, now it's time to put on white that doesn't even hide the khichdi stains, you know, it's like, there's conflicting, you know, emotions there. So if we develop those deep relationships, then we have somebody we can talk to. Okay? Good? Very good. Yes, Prabhu. I mean, Prabhupada says, just, you know, Prabhupada, we can, well, I mean, ISKCON as a society, we have a qualification, we have a certain criteria that must be met, because we want to protect people, you know? I mean, that's basically the bottom line, but better question is not how to become guru, is how to become disciple. Because if one becomes a good disciple, then one can become a guru. But that's the basis. It's not, you know, how to become guru. It's because there's so many different levels of guru. I mean, just you bring somebody to Krishna consciousness, you're considered guru. You know, I take siksha from all different types of people depending on what I need. Like if it's deity worship, you know, I talk to Banu Maharaj. If it's like book distribution, Vaisheshika Prabhu. If it's about, you know, how to set up preaching strategies, I go to this person. If it's about Tulsi, I talk to Madhava Maharaj, you know, like, so there's so many different, guru is a very broad term. I mean, you have Siksha Guru, you have Diksha Guru, you have Sannyas Guru, you have, I mean, even the pot washer is a guru, because he's showing you how to wash the pots correctly for Krishna. So, but before discuss, before understanding what the qualification is, qualifications outlined in Nectar of Instruction, and so many Prabhupada's purports in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, Prabhupada gives the criteria. But ask yourself is how to become a disciple. Because that's what made Prabhupada Jagat Guru. It's because he was the perfect disciple. You think that Prabhupada, you know, do we know if Prabhupada wanted to print books? No, we just know that he was ordered to print books and he print books. You know, he was ordered to bring Krishna consciousness to the West, and he did so. Just on the faith of his guru's order. He was first-class disciple. So to become guru means you have to become disciple. And that's harder than becoming guru, is to become disciple. Because that means you really have to become disciple. That means discipline. That means you have to surrender. Like right now, if you had a guru and he said, okay, I want you to go to Antarctica to preach to the penguins, would you be prepared to do it? Right? I want you to go sell Bhagavatam sets to Eskimos and igloos. Would you be prepared to do it? That's what it means to be disciples. And that's showing an example for other devotees. So instead of getting into this whole thing of the different, you know, of diksha and qualification, does one have to be a madhyam or uttama and all, who cares about all this? First, let's become disciples. And then it's stated in Sastra, Hari Bhakti Vilas, that the guru and the disciple, they observe each other for a minimum of 1 year. Observe the qualities of one another. You can tell if somebody's bona fide or not. Just if you just follow what is stated. Prabhupada given the qualification so many times. So that would be my answer to that question. Like, don't worry about becoming guru, worry about becoming disciple. You know. Well, Guru Tattva is a very delicate situation. Guru Tattva is a very delicate situation. There is, if you look in the ISKCON law book, there's a criteria that one has to meet, you know, to receive diksha. Now, I mean, ultimately it comes from getting inspiration from somebody. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the person is bona fide. I mean, there's so many people that are, you know, it's so many people that claim they're qualified to give initiations, but are they really? You know? I mean, in ISKCON we have a system of checks and balances because of so many problems we had or so many issues that we have a standard so that we can protect people. Because it's a fact. When I went through one falling down, you know, and a lot of people left after that. You know, so, I mean, if you want, you come see me. I can give you the ISKCON law book. You can look in there for qualification to become a guru. Right? But my faith is in the GBC, and if they say this person is qualified, I believe it. You know, that's just me. I believe it. If they say this person's qualified, you can be. And there is many qualified people. Don't get me wrong. There's many qualified people that can give. Like me personally, I think Naji Bihari Prabhu is totally qualified to give an initiation. Very inspiring devotee for me. Ananta Rupa Prabhu. Very inspiring devotee. You know? Like, you know, Jnanivas Prabhu. So long he went without giving initiations. Now he is finally. But, you know, like, he refused for so long. You know, Vaisheshika Prabhu. He had people aspiring for him for 20 years, you know? So, we can see the quality. And then what? Somebody like me give initiation? Yeah, right. Name you Kichri Das or something. I mean, you can see. You can see. But ultimately, if you repeat the word of the spiritual master without any change of the previous acharya, you're qualified. That's sastrically. You know, that one's following, one's chanting, one's following, is obeying the order of the guru. Sastra says that, right? In ISKCON, we add to that to protect. Because that's what we want to do. It's like, we want to, you know, like a little baby, you want to protect them. So, okay? There's plenty of gurus, but don't worry about it. Just keep on practicing Krishna consciousness, and when you're ready, Krishna will drop a guru in your lap for you. That's what you have to do. Just pray to Nityananda. Please send me guru. And he'll send guru when you're ready. But the question is, when he sends him, will you be ready to accept? So, anyway, just my take on the situation. My politically correct kind of take on it. But it's there. Prabhupada discusses it quite often. Pramparam, disciplic succession, qualification of guru, many room conversations, many purports. We have 26 qualities of pure devotee. But then the debate is, on what level can one give? But then Prabhupada says in the fourth canto, in one purport, he says, even a Kanishtha can become a guru, can be a guru, if he repeats the words of his spiritual master. But then we have to understand we're in a society, and we have rules that govern us also. So it doesn't mean like anybody can give an initiation. Like, you know, Madhu Gopal can't just say, your new name now is Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Das. You know, he can't, no. It's just this. And this is what Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur also wanted. He set up a GBC, but his disciples didn't want it. They decided to take the position of, I'm going to be in charge. So that's why we know the system works. Yeah. That's up to you. Do you have faith in him? Who said, how? Then what you're saying is that Lord Chaitanya's mercy doesn't exist. That it only comes through a pure devotee. And that's it. When that's not the case, anybody is qualified to give the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anybody. I know personally, I am not qualified to give an initiation at all. And I gave one initiation to one boy that was dying. And at the end of his life, he chanted 16 rounds, and then he had a heart attack, yelled Krishna, and left. I have no qualification. But that's the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if you say one has to be uttama, one has to be perfect, paramahamsa, then you're checking the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You're saying that, well, you know, you're very merciful, but only if it goes through this avenue. And that's not true. That is not true. Even Lord Chaitanya said Gopal was his guru. It later became such a famous acharya of ours. So we can't, you know, that's up to you. That's what I mean. You have to be ready to accept. If with this attitude of, well, can he bring me back and he bring this, and then you won't ever go back. Then you'll never find guru. Because all you're doing is challenging instead of just accepting. Okay, this is the person I want to get initiated from. If you want to take initiation from somebody, it's a bonding contract that they are ready to bring you back. That's it. You know? Sorry. Dems are the breaks, you know? But that's just how it goes. Yes, Jai Bhadra Mataji? Ultimately, that's what it comes to. You know, it's like they're giving you the way to go. You just have to go. You know? You just have to want to go. You know? So it's like, I mean, we can get it. You know, Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple or complex for the complex. You make it as complex as you want. I know for me, Pancharatrik initiation is necessary. The Goswamis talk about it. Therefore, I took it, and I'm just going to go forward. Whatever my spiritual master tells me to do, I'll do. As long as it doesn't make sure I'm going to die from it. But, you know, but I'll just do it. Because I know I'll go back. Because all I have to do is serve faithfully. But you have to want to serve, not can you promise me? I want it in writing with three witnesses, right? And I want like a court sealed on there, right? And the deed put the deed's footprints. I want that kind of contract. Come on, you know, it's in your heart, the contract. You just have to accept it. You know, so okay. I guess we'll stop here because it's almost 5 to 9, and I don't want the tour program to beat me up. So. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Granta Shri Bhagavatam ki jai. Nanta Kodi Vaishnavinda ki jai. Oh no, Arjuna's beard ki.